Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming live out of California on BBS Radio and also on the new Podopolo podcasting platform. I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silver, if we haven't met. And my role is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by interviewing interesting women who have typically risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, and are now doing amazing things that are worth showcasing. So if you're a woman out there who is listening in and needing a little bit of a boost for resilience right now, this is a great opportunity to listen to some fantastic interviews with women who have brought forth their resilience and are now doing really interesting things. And I love connecting, especially with those who have a mission-inspired business. So I typically work with women entrepreneurs as an executive coach and mentor, and working with them to help them flourish in business. With a passion, particularly for communications, my role is to help teach them to have more confident conversations so they can ask for bigger sales, make those big deals in a man's world, and if they're in the corporate arena, to be able to ask for that promotion and demonstrate why they are so deserving of it. So that's my role today, working as a coach and mentor, and ideally looking at ways I can help women be developing a sustainable business that is fun and that they're proud to leave as a legacy for their kids. So today, I'm happy that I've been able to bring to the stage Cara Wolf. Cara Wolf is the CEO of Amolite Analytics. Welcome, Cara.
Hello, very nice to be here, Yvonne. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So Cara is the CEO of Amolite Analytics, which is a custom artificial intelligence powered software and hardware development firm that specializes in data analytics, cybersecurity, and physical security integration. She is a dynamic and experienced award-winning thought leader, an author, and a speaker with over 15 years of executive experience. Cara has a proven track record of conceptualizing, developing, and commercializing technology-based solutions in software and hardware engineering, in financial services, the defense, and energy sectors. And she has expert analytical and problem-solving skills, coupled with a collaborative team leadership style. And her technical competency, her business acumen, and her drive to succeed deliver exceptional outcomes. And Cara's won numerous awards provincially and nationally for her strategic technology innovation initiatives, her guest lectures on the topics of artificial intelligence, of cybersecurity, innovation, and entrepreneurship. And she has extensive experience serving on the advisory board and at the director level for many organizations, including the Council of Innovation and Entrepreneurial Leadership at University of Calgary and the International Association of VCISOs. She's a member of the Institute of Corporate Directors and a She Innovator with UN Women. She's recognized as TechTerra's Woman of Impact, UC Calgary's Distinguished Graduate, Women of Inspiration, Trailblazer for the STEM category, and nominated for the RBC Entrepreneur of the Year 2020. Whew, that's quite a set of accomplishments. I'm so glad that you could join me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for such a nice, warm introduction. It's always a pleasure to be able to spend some time with you, Yvonne. I think so highly of you and of all of the exceptional work that you do for female entrepreneurs, and your words of wisdom have resonated deeply with me on more than one occasion. So it's my pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, two inspiring women working and doing doing stuff together and making things happen. It's always fun. So I know that you have a really interesting background and an amazing story of rising from tragedy to triumph. Very often the stories I bring out are those that other people don't really know about that have impacted in the way that you have dealt with challenge and also where you're at today. So I'm curious to learn a little bit more about your story of rising from tragedy to triumph.
Well, I have had a roller coaster life. So as many women entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in general, a lot of tragedies that have led to a lot of triumphs and a lot of life lessons learned, a lot of bumps, a lot of scrapes, and a lot of bruises. So I will share, I think, my most recent and probably my most difficult tragedies, and then the transformation and rebirth to where I am today. I haven't really spoken about it publicly too much. So this will be one of the first times. There's a small handful that know, but not the general public. And I'll start with the year 2018. I was recovering from an accident that I'd been in some years prior. And I had formed a company or a business with a man named Roman Bittman. He was the chief visionary of a company where we were developing a bitumen viscosity reduction technology that would increase pipeline capacity by 30%. And Roman had found this technology and had wanted to commercialize it into Alberta. Roman was Métis. He was the first producer of The Nature of Things pre-David Suzuki. He was a founder of the Aboriginal Television Network and did the Nova Scotia, came up with the concept for the Nova Scotia Film Credit. Mm-hmm. And he was just an exceptional, exceptional man. And we became partners and we formed a dream team with the VP of, retired VP of Syncrude. And my CFO was, had taken his tech company from millions to billions and was a former RBC venture capitalist. And together we were the dream team and we were working very hard to set up our pilots and get this commercialized and bring this to market for the environment, for the Indigenous peoples, and for all of Albertans to prosper, which is where we were very much in line. Roman was an expert storyteller and he was a lead mentor in my life and shaped my future and my vision. Unfortunately, Roman died of cancer late in 2018, and it was very hard on all of us. It was a very difficult time, and with his death, we decided to pack in the company as well. He was the driving force, the visionary, and really the glue that held the dream team together. So we packed that in. It's always sad to say goodbye to a treasured friend and a business, because a business is like a child. So it was kind of like losing a baby. And then I had two very good friends die, Alex Rodriguez and, Rekazinko and Suzanne West. And my aunt died and my kids moved away all in the same year. So my life was really just a very sad country song.
Well,
and
that was a lot in a short space of time. You're right.
It was, because I had health issues, I had business issues, I had family deaths, and I had friend deaths, and it just was overwhelming. It was really just probably my most trying year. So, you know, so what do you do with all that loss and all that emptiness? Well, you go to Bali.
You go to find yourself.
You go back to where you can rebuild. And so I took the first solo trip that I'd taken since I was a young woman, and I went across the world by myself and stayed there for 2 weeks, and I loved it. It was wonderful, and I loved it so much that I went back and lived in the jungle in Ubud for another 6 weeks the following winter. And it was just a beautiful experience to be able to hike and swim and work and just be at peace. And I really learned a lot from the Balinese people, who are very gentle and calm and loving, and they don't have anything yet. They're beautiful and peaceful and happy. And that transformation, you know, yoga, meditation, all of that was very healing for me. And I also went back to my roots. I went back to the University of Calgary, where I graduated, and I started my previous businesses. And I just really wanted to be around that student energy, that youth and excitement, to get that good energy. So I started volunteering through the Hunter Center and the Hunter Hub. And that work re-inspired me and kind of got me through that really dark, empty phase. And it was during that time I met my current business partner. And we really we really meshed. So he is in AI and cybersecurity. He's been doing applied AI for 30 years. He's a hacker and a coder. Mm. He's worked in, yeah, he's your typical hoodie. Like, he's all hoodie. And we couldn't be like more different. We are very, very different, but we're very compatible in the ways that are important. And we started talking and then dreaming and scheming, and like entrepreneurs do, we decided to start another venture. So, so we gave birth to this one. And, so we've gone through all of the phases. And so that's what I've been working on for like the last year, is really working on customer validation, product market fit, you know, just getting to understand the environment, the space, what's needed. And because I come from a military background and a military family and law enforcement family, and I come from banking, and I've been trained for many, many years in corporate fraud, I have a really good understanding of the dynamics and the people and what's involved in it. So it's never really fallen far from home. And so we got collaborating like you do. And, you know, he's very heavy on the coding side. I'm very heavy on the business side. And then we figured out a way to communicate, which is like speaking a whole different language. And then we started getting some traction and moving this forward. So, you know, it's been a long journey, and it's been a tough one. When you're down and out, you really understand who your friends are and who they're not. And I learned that the people that I thought, or some of the people that I thought were really in my camp, were really not. And people that I never had any idea that I had an impact on have all come into my tribe, so to speak. And they've been my avid supporters and have become my greatest friends. So when you go through struggle and triumph and hurt, you really get to know the people that love you for you and appreciate you for you. And fortunately, through my work, I was recognized several times from my peers, a lot of women's groups. And, you know, and that meant the world to me, to have women nominating women and women supporting women in a, you know, because generally our gender likes to eat their young. So, you know, it was
an interesting term. I haven't heard that before on interview.
Sometimes it can be ugly. So it's really nice to see awesome powerhouse women that are backing other awesome powerhouse women like that. There is a strength that you can't derive from any other relationship than that. Yeah. And so women that aren't intimidated by other successful women are my biggest champions. It's like, they don't intimidate me, and I'll do anything I can to help them, and they do what they can to help me. And that's collaboration.
Yeah.
So,
it's so interesting when I think about some of the past relationships that I've had, business relationships, when there's a mindset of scarcity, it just doesn't work, because, you know, everything is held close to the chest, and there's no connections, being willingly shared. And when the flood, when the abundance gates are open, it's incredible what shows up in your life, isn't it?
It really is. And, there are lots of women out there that are strong, strong leaders and are competitors, but yet I still collaborate. And because I firmly believe that a rising tide floats all boats. Yep. And you help each other. And, you know, because someday somebody else is going to need a hand. So when women ask me for a hand up, I'm always there to give them that hand up. And I give them strict, kind of guidelines, like your work has to be quality. You have to have integrity in your word. You got to do what you say you're going to do. So there's that element of coaching and bringing up the next generation. Don't be manipulative. Don't be sleazy. Don't be sneaky. Like, that kind of stuff is, you know, that might get you that little win, but that will never get you a lifetime of respect.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so teaching those small teachable moments as they come up, and I do it all day long, and I get lots of women that'll ask me for mentorship and guidance, and I happily give it, because, you know, I was a recipient at one point, and I'm the product of other people's inputs into who I am and my learning. And so it's a privilege and an honor for me to be someone that can give that to others and make them better and stronger in their lifetimes and in their businesses.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, I had someone just recently pop up on Facebook and they said, oh, you're Yvonne Silva. You're the author of Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. That book was on my nightstand when I was in a shelter. And now I'm just, you know, I've turned things around and I'm about to, you know, launch my first book and I have my e-course coming out. And I was like, whoa, you know, how much impact did the book have? Don't really know. But the fact that she was even wanting to share it, I know that it made a difference, which is one of the reasons that, you know, for every copy that's purchased, I donate one to a women's shelter foundation or not-for-profit. I mean, they're in stacks of 10, typically to, you know, the United Way or different groups. But you just never know how, you know, one or two words are going to make that massive difference, because it's exactly what that person needed to hear right now. And mentoring, I'm such a fan of mentoring, because I know that, you know, one of my friends down in Silicon Valley, Dr. Ravi Ganlapalli, who has MentorCloud, says, you know, one conversation can change the direction of someone's career. And I mean, it could be their life, whereas, you know, not just their career. And I've seen that happen over and over again. So thank you for your commitment to bringing up others. And it is a hand up. It's not a hand out, because I'm also a fan of and a believer of the concept that we, you know, we can give a man a fish and they feed for a day, or we can teach them to fish and they feed for life. That's, you know, another one of the quotes in my books. Thank you, Lao Tzu, for that one. So it does make a difference. So thank you for doing that.
I think it's very important. And I think it's important for us as leaders to give to each other as well. So, you know, if you see a leader, even if you don't even particularly care for them personally, just a kind word can go a long, long way. You don't have to like everybody. You don't have to be best friends with everybody, but just small acts of kindness. And, you know, just even a like or a share on a post that they put, you know, just something, just anything to say, hey, you know what, I see you, I hear you, I have a little support for you. And it could be just something as simple as a friendly comment on a post or a like or a share. And it really doesn't take anything. Or, you know, somebody's got a promotion. Some things going on Facebook right now, I think, is really interesting. Due to COVID, all these small businesses are getting together on Facebook groups and they're saying, post your business, post your link. And usually it's like, don't promote yourself. We're not here to promote yourself. But it's like, promote, promote, promote. And I really like that, because now people are starting to link and like businesses and have networking groups. And, you know, and it's very much about promoting each other. And I think that that's the way out of this mess that we've gotten ourselves into. And I think, you know, buying local, building local, selling local is so critical right now.
Yeah.
And supporting each other with dollars in the bank is, it's got to be support with sales. Like, you know, let's spend our way out of this and let's hire our own and build that capacity, build the capacity in the technology, build the capacity in the leadership, build the capacity so that we can compete globally and get out of this small town mentality that we're, you know, we're on this hamster wheel on. We just got to lose that.
Yeah. Well, certainly for myself, I mean, I was hosting live events, you know, down at the Petroleum Club. And when that came to a grinding halt, I think my last one was in February, and I was planning several more this year. And then in that all, that it was all shut down. it has given me the opportunity to connect with some incredible women that aren't here in Calgary. And the virtual summit that I did in December, which was the first one of those that I've done, an all-day event, great success. And I took away a ton of learnings for the next one. So the next one I'll do as a two-day event, and that's coming up February 19th and 20th, if you want to make a note of those dates.
So I am. I'll be there.
Virtual event, again, having an opportunity to bring forward some of my learnings around confidence, and then couple that with several other experts who are going to talk, and we're going to topic a couple of the same topics as last time because it was so popular. So it's about confidence plus credibility equals cash, because that's ultimately where I think most people want to be right now, is they either want to be fully employed and have an income, or they want to be building up their business as entrepreneurs and continuing to be able to be sustainable through being creative, collaborating, and through being way more mindful about how they run their business. So you've obviously had a lot of opportunity to mentor others on those things. So what are you thinking? What's your thinking around things that entrepreneurs really need to focus on outside of that collaborative piece for 2021?
I really think, for one, you got to persist. Like, you got to just keep pushing through and pushing through. If you've got something that the market wants, it's everything is about sales. I hear a lot of stuff about investors, investors, investors. And I really think, and all of my prior businesses have all been based on customer sales. Mm-hmm. It really is sales, sales, sales. And so how do you shrink the sales cycle so that your time from introduction through to deal close, make those sales cycles smaller? And I think that enterprise level businesses need to shrink that sales cycle, you know, from 9 months to 2 or 3 months, especially B2B. B2B is taking way too long.
Yep.
And there's no good reason for it to take so long. It doesn't need to go through an entire legal firm with 20 lawyers and 15 committees, and then their committees, and then their committees. And then a year and a half later, you get $5. Like, it just...
And then it goes through supply chain management. And
that's all right. Then it goes through there. And then after you pay all your employees and all the people who do the work, and then at the end of the day, you've got an ulcer and $5. So I think that we need to do something better, and we need to be better at shortening those. The time to get cash flow in the door has to come shorter.
Yeah.
Because in consumer, it's right away. It's instantaneous. As soon as they buy it, there's your cash in the bank.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you do B2B, it's just taking way too long. And really, the countries are beating us because they're beating us to market, because they're putting out the money faster and sooner and taking more risk. And as Canadians, we are way, way too risk averse. There's no excuse for the aversion that we have here. And there's no excuse for the national self-consciousness or lack of confidence that we have, because we can and do compete on the global scale. And we are better than a lot of other countries. And we're just not given the opportunity with cash to actually build something. Because, you know, in my line of work, people think that you can solve the world's problems with a bunch of university kids in a pizza hackathon. And, you know, they're awesome kids and they're great, but they're brand new. Like, you know, these guys are young. I got 20-year-olds. I know what they're like.
Mm-hmm.
So as smart as they are, they're still young adults. And they don't have the experience and expertise to do that. So, you know, our leaders and our enterprise leaders need to understand that you need to write real checks and hire real executives and real business people to solve the world's problems. And not everybody wants to be an employee. A lot of people like to be entrepreneurs. And in fact, I am a terrible employee. Like, you don't ever want to be my boss. Ask my former bosses. But I'm a great entrepreneur, and I'm a great vendor and a great supplier, and I love my clients to no end. So, you know, I think there has to be a mind shift. Like, not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, and that's fine. That's okay. Yeah. Let's have lots of little businesses. Let's have lots of medium-sized businesses. That's what we thrive on. And, you know,
it's interesting. A couple of things that you've mentioned, but just recently this connection about, you know, employees versus contractors. You know, a few years ago, I thought, well, I've got this recruitment process I call the Power Hire process. And it's basically 12 steps to go from, you know, the first moment that you think, oh, I need an extra person on the team, all the way through to hiring that person. And 3 months in, where you're basically saying, yeah, we like each other, we're going to stay. You've passed the tests. So I thought that was going to be a really popular product for my entrepreneur clients. However, what's ended up happening is there's this more immediate need where they don't want to bring on staff. They don't want to necessarily do the hand-holding and the training and the orientation and the onboarding. They want to hire an expert who's relatively cost-effective and just have an affiliate relationship or an associate relationship with them and not have to deal with the submissions and EI and all of those pieces, or even have to manage them, which I think is, you know, in some instances, it's a bit of a cop-out. But if you hire, as you were saying, if you hire real people, real leaders, seasoned staff, then you don't have to do as much hand-holding. If you're going to hire, 20 students, you're going to spend a lot more of your time managing them and the expectations and the deadlines than if you'd hired, you know, three qualified people. The other thing you mentioned is about sales velocity. And that's a process that I know that we can all make a difference on. I was on a call with Sherry Tree, the founder for Codebreaker Technologies, just recently. And the conversation came up about how can we speed up this sales cycle, whether it's B2B or B2C, and learning a lot more this summer myself about this whole topic of personality science and how that plays a really interesting role in how people make buying decisions. And I understood that there was four different categories. And then when you combine those four categories with everybody has four pieces to their personality code, there actually ends up being 24 combinations that it could be. But if we speak the language of the person that we're dealing with and we give them the information in the format that they want, then the whole sales cycle goes a lot quicker, or they either opt out very quickly, or they're opting in much quicker because they're deeply in relationship with you because you're serving them. You're dealing with a lot of knowledge workers in the IT industry, and that's the group that is, as I found out myself, that's the group that sometimes is a lot harder to connect with, because first of all, they don't want to be, you know, warm and fuzzy, and they're not going to come up and hug you. They probably don't want to even touch you. And also, they are driven by data and by science and by proof and by facts. And a lot of times a very typical sales conversation isn't around the facts. It's around the features and the benefits. And so, you know, a lot of times they're missing the mark. So I found that just fascinating this summer to dive into that. And I liked it so much, the personality science piece, I ended up getting coach certification in it this summer. So that's an added toolkit to go into my toolkit.
I love that. And it, you know, you're right, because it breaks down barriers very, very quickly when you understand the approach. Yeah. And it works really well one-on-one. But it works. It's even more interesting when you're working with committees and teams, because you start to play around with that and serving them the information in the way they want it digested. And it's a very, very effective sales technique. You're absolutely right. It's actually quite brilliant. And I love the science behind it. I think it's incredibly insightful and very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we've all done these personality assessment tests, you know, Myers-Briggs or DISC or MBTI or whatever they might be. And as, you know, as Sherry talks about when she's telling her story, none of them ever helped her make any more money. And then one day she said, I wonder if people with different personality types actually make buying decisions differently, and set out to research into that and figured out that they actually do. And here are four buying styles, if you like, or influence styles, which is all about communication. So that's what business is based on, is communicate, build a relationship, build that know, like, trust, and then you can have a much swifter sales cycle. So it makes a difference. So I'm curious, learnings in business. You've obviously had lots over your years in business. For women entrepreneurs in particular, is there maybe two or three things that you can share that really have been things that might be misunderstood, things that might be surprises on the horizon, depending on what level you're at in your business evolution and scaling up? But what could you share for women that you've learned that has been so valuable?
I don't want to sound cliche, but I'm going to say be yourself And the reason that I'm saying that is because everybody's unique. And there's a ton of myths out there, especially for women. And I've experienced it in a number of ways. There's a lot of prejudice. People say, you know, because you're female, you can't be in tech. Or because you're an MBA, you can't be in tech. You have to be in computer science. Or I'm not going to take you seriously because you're an MBA and because you're female and because you're a business owner. Oh, and because you owned this past business that has nothing to do with this future business. So I there's a lot of that. And it's usually coming from people that have unrealized dreams of their own and have not achieved success on their own. And so they pass their own failures on to other people. And what I'm going to say to that is don't let other people's failures be your failure, because they have dreams that they didn't accomplish, and maybe they're not in the dream job that they wanted to be, or they're not in the success place that they wanted to be, has nothing to do with you or me. It has to do with them. And so if they're going to project their dissatisfaction onto you, just get away from them. You can't even rationalize with the limbic brain. So you just need to move away and say, you know, sorry, you're disappointed, and we're not going to be able to do business because you're at just on a different level. You're on a totally different evolutionary plane, and you have to come to your own realizations, but you're not going to impact me, and you're not going to impact my spirit, because entrepreneurs really only have their spirit. They have the strength, they have conviction, they have perseverance, they have belief, they have unfaltering belief in what they're doing. And everybody is going to give you their opinion. And you know what opinions are. They're just like everything else, just like a mouth. Everybody's got one. Yeah. So those opinions are opinions, but you know, like, my own mother told me I was going to be the biggest failure ever. Like, I was going to end up on welfare, and, you know, I was going to be whatever I was going to be. That was not good. And I thought she'd be my biggest champion, and, you know, and she's the closest one to me telling me, like, that's a loser idea. But yet, so I don't listen to her. I listen to her about recipes, and I listen to her about about grandchildren, and, you know, I listen to her about that. I don't listen to her about business, because she just doesn't. No, and it's not because she's coming from a place of malice. She's coming from a place of caring. She's a former nurse and a unionized employee, so I should just get a union job and it would be okay. You know, she's trying to look out for me the best way she can. But you can't listen to that. You just have to go on your own, and you can only risk what you can afford to lose. So, you know, don't lose your house. Like, if you got to get a job and you got to do skip the dishes while you do your side hustle until it's up and going, then that's what you do, you know, but don't lose everything. And I've seen entrepreneurs just think that tomorrow will be better, and the next day and the next day, and then they go right into bankruptcy, especially my days at the Business Development Bank of Canada. Like, we work very hard to keep our companies out of bankruptcy. But that mentality that it'll just get better, just like, eventually you've got to have a hard stop. It's like, I go to here, this is what I can afford to lose. And if I don't have traction, then I got to pull the pin. And I've done it myself. Ideas that I thought were brilliant were really stinkers, and they didn't go anywhere. I was like, why did I think that was a good idea? But, you know, and maybe I made $1.50 and maybe I made $5. I don't know. But, you know, it's not a business. Then it's like, it's a hobby, right? So I think the perseverance is so key, and blocking and putting blinders on and closing your ears to people that are naysayers, and, you know, or listening a little bit, but not listening too much, because some of them are very valid points. Like, you know, really, you're heading into bankruptcy. Don't go any further. Like, that is good advice. That's negative advice, but that's really good advice. So, you know, so that
Arlene Dickinson shares quite often. When she's on Dragon's Den, right? You know, she'd be shaking her head and she'd be like, don't put any more money into this. And they'll, you know, there'll be a description of, yeah, I put my house up. And it's like, no, you know.
No. That's why.
That's the finance rule, right? Never kill the golden goose who's laying the eggs.
Exactly. And, you know, you've got to have paying customers. Like, you've got, it can't be just a hobby. You can't build things on the hopes that they will come, because things are too expensive to build. refineries, pipelines, artificial intelligence, software platforms. Right. Like, this stuff is expensive and you need paying customers. So enterprise needs to come to the table and say, yeah, we're investing in R&D, we're investing in startups, we're investing in small companies, and we've streamlined the process to make it easy for us and easy for you to start to build and innovate. And we're all going to be wealthy together. We're all going to create wealth. We're going to create jobs for everyone. There's an abundance there. And so this tug of war is, I'm going to take as much as I can out of you little startup. That has to change. That it doesn't do anybody any good if the little startup goes bankrupt because greedy enterprise has taken all the goodies. Like, that doesn't work. It never did. And it doesn't now. And, you know, and just having a different relationship and a different conversation is going to produce much higher value to our organizations, both large and small.
Mm-hmm. Well, even I think back to, you know, when I was first with Minerva Technology, which was an IT startup in Canada, very successful in Calgary here about 25 years ago now. And I remember having a conversation between the leader and the grant community, because, you know, they make it so difficult to just to be able to have to jump through all these hoops just to be able to get, you know, $10,000. It's just not realistic. No. And I don't think that they have any idea of how much work it is for somebody who is a solopreneur or a small business owner to put together a proposal in the beginning. And sometimes it takes days to do. And then if you aren't certain that you're going to be getting that funding, it's just a big waste of time. So, interesting points. We could talk for a lot longer, I know. So I have we have about 5 more minutes left. So I want to make sure that we touch on some of the interesting things that you're up to right now, because timeliness is, of course, one of the key things for entrepreneurs to take advantage of. And you have a cybersecurity course coming up that I'd like you to talk a little bit about, because it's specifically for women, women in Southern Alberta, in fact. So share a little more about that.
Okay, I'd love to. So I am so happy to be working and announcing a partnership with Economic Development Lethbridge, the WESTEM program, Women in STEM program, funded by Western Economic Diversification, has funded 30 scholarships for women in Southern Alberta who are entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs. And we're providing Foundations of Cybersecurity March 9th for 8 weeks, Tuesdays and Thursdays over the lunch hour. So from 11:30 to 1. So 3 hours a week of live instruction, guided hands-on learning on how to protect your business and the fundamentals and foundations of cybersecurity. So so thrilled to be able to offer that to the female entrepreneurs in Southern Alberta. So this does exclude Calgary. So it's everybody in the surrounding area. So from Canmore to Saskatchewan down to the US border, Airdrie is included, and Canmore is included, and then, but just Calgary is not. So we're focusing on rural and Southern Alberta. And we have about 10 left. So you can go onto my website at amelightanalytics.com, or it's listed in Eventbrite too through the WESTEM program. And we'll post the contact information and the link later so that people can register. The value is $3,000, and it's been graciously provided by the federal government. So this is deemed a matter of national importance, and especially for small, medium-sized businesses. So I'm very excited to be able to deliver this kind of training to our cohort. And I can't wait until March to deliver it. So thank you for letting me do my spiel there. super excited, because the WESTEM program is amazing. And they are, I'll give a plug to Economic Development Lethbridge and WESTEM too, because they have a whole litany of workshops and courses and a business advisory program, and it's all complimentary for female entrepreneurs. So there's a lot of things that are of value there. And if you just go to the WESTEM, I think it's WESTEM.ca, if you go to their website, all of those are listed as well. And there's some great powerhouse women mentors and teachers that and advisors that are putting on some amazing workshops, so both short and long. So I think your listeners would really enjoy looking into some of that programming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that cybersecurity in particular is just so relevant right now. So the course itself might be valued at $3,000. However, if you have a business background and you have an interest in getting into the cybersecurity industry, there's way more value than $3,000. Way more value.
For sure.
Because
for sure.
This is a market where there are jobs, there are people that are looking for consultants, and certainly, you know, if this is an area of particular interest, I encourage you to reach out to Kara and see, you know, maybe have a conversation about that. But certainly for this event coming up, it's an excellent program, and I know that from the work that you do, it's going to be a really deep dive concept that you're going to get a chance to experience. So thank you for putting that together and getting that funded. So anything else that's coming up that that you wanted to share with the audience members?
We just won an ideas challenge. So that's exciting. That was done with the Department of National Defense. So we'll be working on building out our software and our prototypes for our anti-malware using artificial intelligence. So we're quite excited to kick that off. That's a big deal. So we're really thrilled. We got that announcement just before Christmas. So super, super excited. And I want to be positive for 2021. You know, we've had a tough year and there's been a lot of lessons learned, a lot of hardship, but we're tough. Albertans are tough. and we're going to come out of this stronger and better than we ever have before. So I just really want everybody to make 2021 the best year that they've ever had. I mean, we've got a lot of making up to do, and it won't be long when we'll be able to see each other in person again and do big hugs and you know, be social and go back to the Trillium Club and do our events. And I can't wait because mine got canceled too. So, you know, like it's, we've got a silver lining and the end will come. And so to everybody that's struggling a little bit, just, you know, hang in there, just tough it out. It's just a little while longer. And if you are, reach out, you know, like we're a Zoom call away. I've had lots of Zoom happy hours. I do, you know, like just an email, or I just do likes and shares on people's Facebook, and I do it on their LinkedIn just to know that they're cared about, you know, just, you know, just a little word of kindness, just be a little nicer and write bigger checks. Like that.
Write bigger checks.
Yeah.
There's definitely a trend there. Write bigger checks.
Yeah, I think so.
So in terms of keeping in touch with you, to reach out on LinkedIn, is that the best way to do it?
Yeah, they can reach out to me on LinkedIn under Kara Wolf, or you can reach me through my website, amalyteanalytics.com. And okay. Analytics is spelled A-N-A-L-Y-T-X.
Right.
So AMMOLITEANALYTX.com.
Right.
So AmalyteAnalytics.com. And you can register for the course through AmalyteAnalytics.com. There's a button there. So you can just click through and register there. And by all means, LinkedIn me. And if there's any way I can help support anybody, if there's somebody that's in need, totally reach out. I'm more than happy to help out and help support where I can. And I have a huge network, so happy to facilitate introductions if that's what's needed. And maybe, you know, just a virtual hug and just say, hey, it's going to be fine. Like we're going to get through this.
I love this spirit of abundance and generosity. And just in a couple of quick comments, basically when we talk about business and, you know, business failure, my personal belief is that we don't actually have failure in life. We have lessons. We have learning opportunities. And so I sort of crossed out that word. First of all, you know, it has painful memories of me. You have something with your mom. I had something with my dad. But, you know, entrepreneurs do need to fail forwards, if you like, or fall forwards, because that's where we have our greatest learnings. It's not on the, you know, when we have the easy boat. It's when we have the most challenging things happening and we rise above it and we get through it. that we can look back and say, wow, you know, look at where that resilience has now built my confidence. And that's, of course, my focus area is helping women to elevate their confidence so that they can actually have more success and sustainability in business, to flourish in business. A couple of things that you mentioned, we talked about that sales velocity. If you're intrigued to learn more about the personality science that I mentioned, if you go to my website, which is wordswomenandwisdom.com, and it's not the ampersand, it's spelled out A-N-D, wordswomenandwisdom.com. There's a gray button in the middle that you can click to download your own free personality science report. It's a $99 value, but you can take 90 seconds, invest 90 seconds, take the assessment, and get your own 20-page report back. Hugely valuable. I think you'll learn a lot from that. So I will encourage you to do that. I know that, Kara, you have to hop off. And so what I'll do is I will invite listeners to say bye-bye to Kara, and also to just stay on for a few more minutes. I mentioned Words, Women, and Wisdom, which is my best-selling book, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And I'm just going to play a little bit of an intro about that book after we wrap up this interview. So stay tuned for that. And I am also looking forward to seeing where 2021 takes us. My word for the year is radical. So let's see what can be created. And if you don't have a word for the year yet, I encourage you to focus your energy, pick one word that will resonate, that will be that beacon for you to pull you forwards into success in 2021. And I know that Kara and I will be here to be supportive. If you need something, please reach out. Thank you for your time today, Kara.
Oh, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, Yvonne.
Thank you. And I will be speaking soon with you. Okay. Bye for now, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.